You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, and listeners, we are back because we have got a brand new episode for you and we wanted to catch up on everything that has been happening this spring. So I have got nearly the whole team back together again. I will start by saying, Max Corcoran, how are you?
I'm very well, very, very well. Glad to be home for a little bit. Thank you for having us back.
Good to have you always. And Rob, you are in the office with about three layers on. But talking about a heat wave that's happening outside.
It's only one layer. It's not that, well, two layers, I guess, technically, yeah, two layers. It's not too bad. But yeah, we're preparing for scorching heat this week.
It has been a scorching few months, actually. And I should say that we haven't got Dom on the show. So he has just welcomed a new baby and I let him off the hook, listeners. He will be back very shortly, I'm sure.
That's awesome.
I know, a new addition to the Byrne clan. So he has gone from one to two children and haven't seen much of him in the last couple of weeks. So who knows how it's going? Fingers crossed, all good. Okay, last couple of months, big few months that have happened in the eventing world. It feels like we've spent the last sort of 2 years desperate, really trying for everything to get going. And all of a sudden we've been hit by this steam train of eventing that has just gone boom. Okay, you want eventing, we'll give you eventing. It has been a crazy start to the year. So Max, first of all, how has your start to the year been?
Well, like you said, it's sort of careful what you wish for. It's been a very wild spring, a busy spring, but nonetheless good. I think, I've been on the road a bit. Gotten to quite a few events. Didn't get to Carolina, which I'm very sad about. Was meant to be helping Liz Halliday Sharp there, but she had a bit of a pop off at Red Hills. But she's back now, so we missed that and then went to Stableview instead. So I've got, was it Stableview and then the Fork at Tryon and then home and then Kentucky. Oh, Ocala International and then, oh gosh, Kentucky. And then I just did the Kentucky Badminton Tryon sweep and finally home. So yeah, I've been busy, but I think it's been a super, it's been a really good spring for the sport. It's been all things go.
We have had all sorts. We've had world records. We've had falls. I love how you said a bit of a pop-off. Poor Liz Halliday Sharp.
I know.
I mean, she is unbelievably tough. Of all event riders, she is a really, really tough one. And it is so good to see her back in the saddle. And I'm sure there will be plenty of success throughout the rest of the year as well. Certainly those international wins have been coming already for her since she's been back. But we've had all sorts. So let's start with, I think Carolina is probably a good place to start because it is one of the first opportunities that we had this year to see some of the really big Kentucky combinations building up to obviously Kentucky and in fact, badminton. And that was actually the one I was going to start with because Tammy Smith set a new, new Carolina record with my bar. And I think I'm double checking. My internet listeners is failing me miserably. I think it was a 20.7.
I think it was a 20. It was a 20 or 21, but it was very good. It was very good. They've done so much work at Carolina. I didn't get to go, but the word on the street was that they've done so much work on the footing and the grass, and it's all gotten to be so well established and is now sort of what they consider old turf. And Ian Stark built an incredibly big, bold course and big gallopy. And it was pretty great for the time of year. Very, very needed for that time of year for people to figure out where they are, what their homework is, where their gaps are, so they can get on to the next. But it was, it's just a great, they do such a great job with that competition. It's one of my favorites. I was really sad to miss it. But Tammy was very good there.
Yeah, she had her 20.7. My internet.
Oh, 20. There we go.
Well done, Rob. You saved me from myself there. No, and it was a new Caroline dressage record. And actually, she stuck to her guns because she said she wasn't going to run cross country. The aim was badminton. We'll come on to talk about badminton a little bit later on in this show, but she withdrew and it went on to be
Don Dante.
I was just losing myself down the old rabbit hole of Will Coleman's results, but it was Don Dante that won, who finished on a dressage score of 27.4, which I think is up there with among the best finishing scores we have seen at the venue as well. So a big weekend. And Robert, it was a real sort of indication of, I guess, those big guns coming out firing, lots to look forward to over the coming months, world championship year. And there's that sort of extra pressure, isn't there, even on these early events, because world championship year means that actually teams get their first opportunity to qualify for the Olympic Games.
That's right. Yeah. And we're trying to, I think each of the riders and their horses are trying to prove themselves, not only to themselves and to their owners and everybody else, but trying to get on those teams. So, unfortunately, I didn't make it to Carolina, but I will say that, yeah, in running down the list of performances, I mean, it was Will, Doug, Will Fodry, Sydney Elliott, a lot of the names that keep coming up this year, Tammy. I think we are really deep right now, and I'm just hoping that we continue to see, especially at the upper levels, our riders finishing scores creep down closer to where the Brits and some of the 28.7. That's my 28.7. My mantra. It's 28.7. You have to finish on a 28.7. Because that's what the Brits did in Tokyo. So
yes.
I hate to say it, but you might need to finish lower than that to win gold in Frattoni, because there are some crazy good scores that we're going to be talking about. But no, I would say that actually there feels like a lot of strength and depth, and a lot of people sort of popping their names up there and making a strong shout for selection potential early on, which is exciting. Okay, let's talk Kentucky, because we had said on the the build up to Kentucky, what it was going to be like to have crowds back. Rob, what was it like? Was it as special? Was that moment when you drive in still as goose pimply?
Oh, it always is. It always is. When you see that Rolex Stadium just towering over everything, and then you go out on the bluegrass, and I'd say the team designing the course had done a fantastic job this year. It just looked beautiful. And they were, I think last year, we pulled, thanks to a great group of people, we pulled off the Kentucky event. But this year, you could tell they had a little extra time to mow in a couple of other areas and do some things. And other than the fact that there were well over 83,000 people there getting in the way when I was trying to get from point A to point B, which I'm not complaining about because it's amazing. It was pretty special having everybody back home.
Were you there this year, Max?
I was there. I was helping Liz Halliday this year.
Okay, so you were there in a work capacity, because I imagine you've been to so many Kentuckys that to go as a spectator would be very weird.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that. One day I will. One day I will. One of my perks of being the USDA president is that we get tickets to the sponsor tent, but I maybe get there twice, maybe. I think other people use my tickets usually probably more than I do, but it's definitely a treat. But it is. I prefer to be there in the background. You can feel the energy and all that going on, and it's a cool. I just love being there. Even though Liz was not just doing the short, she had three horses in the short format, which was plenty to do. But I wanted, because I knew I was flying to badminton, and I had a flight on Sunday night, I didn't want to take on a long format horse because I wanted to be able to finish my job before getting on to the next one. So I was, but again, three in the short format was plenty because the mornings were 8 o'clock every morning with a gray horse. It was great.
I was gonna say Liz loves a gray horse, and you had a lot of very early starts in the four star short.
Pretty much. Yeah.
And that's, I will say that four star short is kind of
a five star short
these days. So it's a tough, it's a tough track. So
yeah. Especially that coffin there in the very beginning was harder than the four short coffin was harder than the five long coffin, easily.
The numbers, fence six.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? That four star short. We saw it when it first ran last year, and actually, you know, it caused a lot of problems. Admittedly, the weather was pretty tough. This year, we only had one person made the time. That was Dan Creetle Carmango, who led after the first two phases, just had a few poles down on the final day and a few time penalties. So they finished up fourth. But Liz took the win, and she was pretty close. She picked up four time penalties cross country, but was basically the closest of everybody in the field, finishing on her dressage score, was the only one sub 30, and a really convincing win actually by some 9 marks ahead of Philip Dutton and Quasi Cool, who looks a really exciting horse for him. So that was very exciting. And James Alliston, who used to fly under the British flag, now flies under the US flag, has been based obviously over in the US for a very long time. He completed the podium with Nemesis. So lots to look forward to in the four-star short, and some really nice horses that I'm sure we'll see a lot more of in the future. But we have to talk about that man who has won Kentucky now 4 times. And in doing so, he set a brand new world record finishing score at the five-star level, 20.1. It is, of course, Michael Young and Fisher Chipmunk, FRH. 20.1, I think it would be fair to say, you know, he came into the competition as the hot favorite. Everybody was very much looking to him as the one to beat. The horse has been obviously on very, very good form previously. Many would say that he didn't deserve his frangible pin, which he got in the Olympic Games, which ultimately cost him the individual gold medal. What was the feeling like? What was the buzz around the place like, Max, when he went in to do that test?
Well, and after watching, being lucky enough to watch that horse last year at the Olympic Games as well, obviously his training and his ability is superior to everybody in the world. You can't just say the Americans, because it's pretty much superior to everybody in the world. It's finally now his ride. Like, they had a different connection than they did a year ago. That it's like that horse was looked great. I mean, obviously, it was very well trained before he got it, but now it's his ride. So a lot of people, you know, everyone had stopped to watch it, and it was just like, oh, well, so that's how it's done. Cool. That's nice. You know, so it was like, there we go. There's the standard. Oh, nice. Okay. Well, saw you. one day I'll dream to get to the moon. So it was really fun to watch that and to watch him. He's such a professional and such a horseman, and, you know, hopefully people have watched the way he rides his horses in the morning, what he does with his horse to prepare them, why he is who he is. I mean, he's always out there trotting his horse around in a jump saddle the morning of, and just sort of stretching them out and doing some smaller, you know, movements, and yep, right, got that. Okay. Can I stop? Can I start? You know, just pressing the buttons. Yep. Got all that. Okay. You're good. And goes for a big old long hack. And it's interesting. And he's done that, the same thing. I've watched him for years doing the same thing with Fisher Rakana and with Sam. And it's just cool to watch. He's just sort of a cool customer. It's his program. It works. And so he just gets on with it. So it was fun. And then on the cross country, again, people are like, ooh, we got some pins. Is this going to happen again? And, you know, and that horse's entire career, it's always been able to have one down. It did with Michael at the Olympic Games and stuff. And, the whole performance was, it's really convincing from start to finish. It just was like, you know, next time we'll just write you the check, save the horse's legs.
clinical. Yeah. I would say, and I can't remember who told me this now, but just to make us all feel a little bit better, that Fisher Chipmunk is, I mean, I was going to say that Fisher Chipmunk is human. Obviously, he's a horse, so he's not human. But I did hear that apparently, obviously, Chip arrived a little bit earlier than a lot of the other horses. And so he was in the stables on his own, and he got a bit lonely. So they had to draft in a random horse that was obviously fully vaccinated and had all of the paperwork him a little bit of company. And I thought, okay. Aww. Even the legends can get a little bit, you know, sad on their own.
I said at one point, when I was watching dressage, that when I watch everybody else, this is probably an American thing, but I watch everybody else from America and elsewhere, and I'm looking for all the positives in the tests, and I'm talking about, oh, this, and the same on cross country. Oh, this looks so great. And I watch Mikel and Chipmunk, and I think to myself, can I find an error? I need to find some error. It's a pretty cool standard to get to watch.
Listeners, we're all sat here wishing that Rob Burke was our dressage judge of going, you know, where can I give him these marks? No, it was absolutely extraordinary. And he was very, very convincing in all three phases. I mean, it was the biggest win margin we have seen at Kentucky, and a world record to boot. And yes, he looks ominous for the World Championships in Brittany. But I would say there were some very, very good, exciting performances from the home riders as well. Yaz Ingham from the British side finished second, Banzai de Loire, and it was
her first star. So excellent. That is, if that's what's coming up through the future in Great Britain, we got some work to do.
We're doing all right, I'll be honest.
Rider. She's exceptional.
She really is. She's very, very talented. And this horse has, ever since they bought him, they've been looking at him with Paris 2024 in mind. Perfect. And I would say, you know, there's a degree of pressure. They bought him with that in mind and they've lived up to everything all the way through. But, you know, he's obviously very talented. Yaz has come through all the Pony Junior Young Rider ranks over here. And she's a very, very good jockey. And it's very exciting for them to finish second on their five-star debut. So that's very cool. But I was going to say, that, you know, from the home nation, Doug Payne, Quantum Leap looks a really exciting horse for him. Star Witness, obviously, I think led the dressage in the four-star short, but had a problem and so didn't go on to top that podium. But Doug has got some really nice horses because actually also at Kentucky, he announced the retirement of Van Diver. And I think we should just say happy retirement, Van Diver, because he has been such a brilliant, brilliant superstar for US eventing over the years.
Yeah. He's had to work very hard, that horse. He's got the biggest heart and he's going to go and do some competitions with his groom, Courtney Carson, in his retirement, just go and play and have fun and do some stuff with her while he's going, you know, slowing down a bit.
He'll have a brilliant time and Absolutely. He'll hopefully enjoy a great retirement. And he, you know, it's been a privilege to watch him. He was best of the US combinations in Tokyo last year and has been a real star for Doug. So Van Diver, happy retirement. And we'll look forward to watching your exploits and having a bit of fun now down at the lower levels. But Doug has some really nice young horses coming through. Quantum Leap, certainly one of them. The Biggest Climber moved up from 25th after dressage to take third on the podium. Boyd and Setzeleg, I think, would have been ruining their two rails down on the final day, which ultimately cost them second place on the leaderboard. But still, I mean, he, another brilliant, brilliant horse for US eventing, has done so much.
Brilliant cross-country go. Unbelievable cross-country. So easy.
Yep. He looked like he just made it like a walk in the park.
Yeah.
He just skipped around. Didn't look like the time was tight. Didn't look like the fences were tough. He just skipped around, had a great time. Bruce Davidson, Carlivo, very impressive. And then two for Will Coleman inside the top 12 in Don Dante and Off the Record as well. Plus some really, really other good names. Sid Elliott was in there. Megan O'Donoghue, Palm Crescent was well-placed. Hannah Subinet, Harbour Pilot as well. Another one very much worth a mention because he has been a brilliant stalwart for her.
And he's 19 this year.
Just amazing.
I know. We had two 19-year-olds, Van Diver and Harbour Pilot, both 19-year-olds.
And we're going to talk about a couple of 19-year-olds possibly at badminton.
Yeah.
Because the old ones were doing all of the good work over the weekend. Let's move on to badminton. First things first, Max, you were in the same country as me, on the same turf as me. I literally saw you from across the collecting ring and we were both running around like headless chickens and I never actually saw you. So apologies. Badminton was busy.
It was busy from the day we moved in on the Tuesday. I was there helping Matt Flynn. We moved in on the Tuesday and there was plenty going on, people walking courses because the BE100 and the BE90, I think it was as well. And then Wednesday, the trade stands opened and it was a steady flow of people. There were thousands of people there watching the BE100. Of course, that turned all of the five-star horses on their heads because you have to hack through there to get to the dressage rings and any of the schooling rings. That got a little exciting. But it was busy from start to finish. It was, which was great. I know that culture over there loves their eventing, loves the horse sport, loves to be there, whether they're there watching or just sitting there having a picnic. They're just, people were really excited to be at, and we had fantastic weather.
Yeah, we were blessed with absolutely beautiful weather. I was amazed too, actually, because I've been on the Wednesday onwards for a number of years, and actually I've never seen the Wednesday like it. The horse inspection was just heaving with people. Cross Country Day was a sellout, which would have been well over 100,000 people. And I'll be totally honest, listeners, I didn't really move from the media center. I went out first thing in the morning, poked my head out midway through the day, and was like a turtle tortoise going back into my shell. I was like, no, I'm staying inside because too many people for my liking. But it was amazing. And there was a really, really enthusiastic crowd. And I have to admit, I loved seeing so many good American combinations come over and give badminton a really good crack. And that
it was really great.
And it's a big old financial commitment, isn't it, Max? You know, we talk about having a few horses come over from Europe to come over to Kentucky, but actually getting your Tammy Smith and my bottom, she could have gone to Kentucky and given Mickey a really good run for his money, but she said, no, I want to go and prove my worth, the horse's worth at five star at badminton. We're going to go and do it. And that was alongside a number of others. And it was great to see.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, I was talking with some people about how, you know, you can go to Kentucky. These guys go to Kentucky every year and it's the same. It's not the same track, but it's the same land, the same land, the same land. If you're going to go to a championship, it's a piece of land that you've never been on or never seen before. So you need to have, that's a very valuable experience to go out of your comfort zone to a new place and to compete against, you know, the Tim Prices and the William Fox Pitts and the Pebble Funnels. That is their Kentucky, right? So they know that land. They know how to make the time. They know where to make things up. They know how the ebb and flow of the land is and stuff like that. And to go and compete against them, I think warrants a big praise for them to go and do that. You know, I mean, yes, it's something you should do. And quite honestly, a lot of those horses and riders have been waiting to do this for 3 years now. They did Kentucky in 2019. And then they're like, right, yeah, I'm going to badminton this year. No, wait. Okay, now I'm going to go to badminton this year. No, wait. Now I'm going to badminton. So I think it's been on a bucket list for a lot of those riders. And I think it was between Ariel's Gerald, who was fantastic all weekend as well. She's done Burley. She's a very classy rider, very classy horse. And Tammy and Phil and Philip. Philip hasn't been to badminton in 19 years.
No so way.
Was, yeah. And it was always... We laughed. My dear friend Emma Ford, that groom for Philip for probably 16 years. Every time they tried to go, something would happen. One year they were ready to go, and there was a volcanic eruption, and no planes were flying. And then another year, one of the other horses got hurt. You know, he had four horses to go to Kentucky, so the one was going to go to badminton. Emma's like, "Yes, I'm going to badminton." One of the horses got hurt, and the owner said, "Oh, right. Well, since you can take a third horse there now, we're going to do this." And so like it kept happening to him again and again. And then Emma retired and stopped working for him in September. And of course, now.
And off he goes.
Yeah, he finally got to go.
I bet she was like, yeah. Come on.
And Will Fodry again, he went with his old partner, Antigua. And so it had been 17 years since he had been there. So it was.
Will Fodry in Antigua was 17 years ago.
17 years ago.
No way.
Yeah. He said it was 17 years ago. He wore number 17 and he wore number 17. He finished 17th.
Oh, amazing.
That was
so cool.
Back in the long format days. Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day. That's crazy. I would just say actually on Philip Dutton and Z, that horse at badminton actually joined a very elite group of horses because going into badminton, only seven horses had more than five runs at five-star level and had an immaculate 100% clear cross-country jumping record at five-star. It is really tough to do. And he was 5 from 5 going into badminton, and he is now 6 from 6 clear rounds cross-country at five-star coming out of badminton. So huge credit to him. The horse at the top of the list is one of those 19-year-olds that actually finished 11th in Janelle Price Classic Moe, who is now 11 from 11.
Wow.
She's just absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah.
Good horsemanship. Good horsemanship.
Yeah, good horsemanship. Yeah, absolutely. And I think Janelle was almost a little bit embarrassed by how quickly Classic Moe went and how easily she went for the time on the Saturday because she found it very straightforward and sort of romped home quite happily. And Janelle said, well, actually, I was having a really nice time, which you know, not many people can say tackling the Badminton 5-star. Of the American accommodations, I have to say the one that stood out for me was definitely Tammy and My Balm, who I told everybody that came within sort of a 6-foot radius of me in the build up to Badminton that you've got to go and see this horse because he's just unbelievably beautiful. And everybody took note of how amazing he is. And I think 25.3 in the first phase, still a very, very good score. Could there be a few marks knocked off that? Yes, which is very exciting because it can go even lower, which is great. And then a few time penalties cross country. But for me, it was his show jumping on the final day, Max. I don't know what you thought, but it was just stunning.
She's worked very hard on her show jumping, and I'll give my other half a little pat on the back because she trains with my partner. In the show jumping with Scott Keach. And so she has been really dedicated, came out, done a lot of work. He goes out there probably once a month to help her out. And it was funny in the dressage sat down to watch, and we had some of the Kiwis and a couple other people there on that little rider's bit. They're like, where'd this horse come from? I said, you guys probably just don't know this horse. I didn't realize this horse was this spectacular on the flat. This thing's beautiful. I said, yeah, you just haven't seen it, have you? And they're like, well, I've seen it on TV, but I mean, you watch it in person. I mean, this thing's amazing. I said, wait till you see it jump.
Different.
And it just was, and he was fresh on Sunday. She had gotten him very, very fit. He looked a million bucks. He was just the horses. We had a very early night in the stables on Saturday night, which was great. The horses all could have a good rest. And she had a most beautiful show jumping around. It was just very smooth, and the horse is just an exceptional, exceptional jumper, and it's very careful and exceptional, and he's just a beautiful horse to look at. So it makes it even more sort of wow.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Olympic Frange Bull. I mean, if you think about last year and Tammy and the Frange Bull in Kentucky, I mean, she was pretty close to a top finish there with My Balm. So yeah, I think one to watch for sure.
Yeah. She's got some because she is not going to be a reserve again.
No, I agree completely. And I mean, it would be mad to think that she wouldn't be on a team after that performance. I would also say the one that really stood out for me had to be Ariel Grold and Liam Moore Master Plan. You know, he's 13 now, but he came over and was top 10 at that really tough Burley in 2019. And he was then on the podium in Le Moulin last year. And then he's come here and been top 15 at Badminton. Just absolutely brilliant. And he thoroughly deserved,
all beautiful show jump round. Yeah. Again, the horses, you know, those horses were properly fit and still fuller run. I know both those girls did say back on the barns on Saturday saying, I watched those horses finishing tired. I wanted to make sure I had enough horse at the end. I should have and could have gone faster, but you know, at least they came out the next day and proved that their horses were fit enough and did have beautiful show jumping rounds.
Yeah, absolutely. And jumped brilliantly. I love Mama's Magic Way and Will Fordry.
I love Mason. He's such a monkey.
Just so cool. I would just point out that when we were talking about, terrifyingly low scores, the winner, Laura Collett, London 52, set a new badminton record. So obviously we'd see Michael Young, 20.1 at Kentucky. Laura then comes out and does a 21.4 at Badminton. So, you know, how low can we go? Which is pretty exciting, but slightly terrifying. Obviously, you know, I'm not complaining because she's British. And there were some very, very good, strong British performances as well. I've got a horse for you listeners to look out for who finished second.
Ross Hanner's young horse.
Lordship Scraffalo, the highest placed 10-year-old at Badminton since Mark Todd won with Landvision back in 2011. Finished on his dressage score of 26, the only horse in the entire Badminton field to finish on his dressage score. And he just looks beautiful. Absolutely has ridiculous. All of the ingredients.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I had that horse on my eventing manager.
Did you?
Team. Yeah. but I'll say that I seem to be getting worse at this eventing manager stuff.
Oh, I'm absolutely terrible.
Yeah. But that was one at least I saw.
That horse was amazing. I was on the buggy back from the collecting ring back to the stables with her at one before the afternoon session, and I said, "I just love your young horse." She said, "Oh my God, thank you so much. He loves himself too." And I said, I started laughing. She's like, "He really does. He just thinks he's got such confidence." I said, "Well, if he can jump like that and move like that," and she goes, "Exactly." She said, "Nobody really saw him coming up because of COVID. He sort of snuck under the radar a lot of things, and now here he is." She's like, "But this is a very special horse."
Yeah, he's really nice. He's called Walter in the stable as well, which is a brilliant stable name. And I would just put it out there, listeners, if you like following a bit of form, then the top two from Blenheim from the big four-star long format last year, which is a big four-star over on British soil. The winner was Yazingham Banzai de Loire, who obviously came over and finished second in Kentucky. Second place was Ros Cantor and Lordship's Graffalo, who finished second to Ros and Banzai there. And they've both gone on to have brilliant, brilliant five-star debuts. I'm just going to look who was third, actually. John the Bull, Susie Berry, who was also top 20 at Badminton. Okay. Let's go from Badminton to Pretoni, because it was, of course, the test event this week. And I think it's a good chance for us to catch up, because obviously we had Bobby Costello on the show a couple of weeks ago talking in the build-up to Kentucky about, you know, plans for the team and everything over the next few months. And Max, you have got a very exciting new role as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty, well, it's I am very excited about it. I'm just trying. I want to make, hopefully I do a good job at it. So the USCF has asked me to be they're calling it the high performance facilitator. So I'll be working with Bobby to sort of help execute his plans, and working with the awesome crew in the office, Christina, Gemma, Allison, and Amber, who are awesome, and working with them to execute whatever it is that Bobby wants to get done, and sort of try to take a little bit off of his plate and try to take some off of the crew in the office, the eventing crew in the office, their plate, and sort of help navigate things and manage the barns and sort of do that type of thing at the stables at the horse show. So here we go. See what happens.
And it's cool, isn't it? Because actually, you know, World Championship year, it is sort of all systems, all roads leading to Pretoni. The test event has just happened. I know Bobby was out there. Have you guys had, he wasn't out there.
He did not get to go. No, because we had try-on, which was our final, not the final, but another selection trials here in America. We had try-on did replace Jersey, what was Jersey Fresh. And so we had a 3 and 4 star long and short at try-on this past weekend. So he was there with trying to do that. And so we sent Kim Severson, who obviously has tons of experience, and she is one of the selectors, and Lauren Nicholson, who as a rider, to go over and to see all the things and walk around and ask all the questions. And we kept, you know, they'd send stuff to us. We'd fire questions back to them and, you know, make sure you ask this, make sure you ask that. And Gemma Stobbs, who works in the office and does a lot of stuff she'll be looking after the owners of the World Championships, and she's got great eventing background too. So the three of them were there asking questions, taking videos, taking pictures, walking around, picking up dirt, testing it all, walking the horses caught up, looking in the barn, smelling the water, you know, doing all those things.
Doing all the important things.
Exactly.
The test event is, you know, it's about finding the lie of the land, isn't it? You know, it's about getting what insight you can get into even just the logistics of traveling horses there, the logistics of the stables, you know, where the cross-country collecting ring is, and all of that sort of fact-finding that you can do now is really beneficial. Certainly, listeners, everything that I have heard from Pretoni is that it could be a really, really tough cross-country stamina test, which I think
absolutely
is what we expected. But I think that has just been backed up post that test.
Yeah, the hills, apparently, the word back was saying that you need to have an exceptionally fit, exceptionally light-footed, a horse that does not pull. That's what you're going to need. It's not going to be a dressage competition per se.
There's something called the slide. Business,
yes,
which
they used it in the fall. They didn't use it in this event, but no. In the fall, in the four long in the fall, they used the slide. But apparently there are two slides.
Oh, you know, I mean, it's like a theme park, isn't it?
Right, you slide and then you go on a little bit of flat and then you slide down again, apparently. So
When we say slide, we mean really steep. So Sam Watson was talking about this. We've done a big Protonia review show. And actually on the Eventing podcast, there's you can hear from people like Peter Gray, who is obviously going to be on the ground jury out there. Andrew Nicholson, who has been instrumental in the Swiss cross country performances, giving their take on it as well. And it's worth a listen. But Sam was saying you'd come down the slide at no more than 200 meters per minute. Like it is steep.
We used to have, I think it was based off of Punchestown in Ireland. We used to have a place out west, Ramtap, that had a drop that was pretty miserable. We'd call it the Punchestown drop out there, but the slide sounds pretty miserable. I will say I talked to Peter Gray just yesterday, and he was telling me just how amazing the hospitality was, and like beyond, you know, he's like, oh my God, I wish every event was like this. I'm looking forward to our riders getting out there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And I think now, you know, the last few selection trials will be taking place. Obviously, I think Le Moulin is the final one that everybody will be looking at. And then we will really start to be kind of crunching down on, okay, who's going? What are their plans over the next few months? And all roads are leading to Protonia, which is very, very exciting. And of course, we've got Burley back in the fall, and we'll have Maryland Five Star too. So lots to look forward to back on later on in the season. Yeah. Anything from you both, anybody that has caught your eye at the start of the year, anything that you are particularly looking forward to that you think, actually, I'm just going to throw this one out into the universe now?
Well, I'm looking forward to, gosh, I mean, here on grounds, I mean, I'm looking forward to AEC out at Rebecca Farm. This year is going to be amazing, with Glacier National Park in the background. And then
so beautiful.
It is a Hall of Fame year. So that I'm definitely looking forward to.
Hall of Fame. Talk to me about Hall of Fame, because that is really exciting. And that, I think, has already started, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah. Max and I were lucky enough to be around at Kentucky when they announced Jane Atkinson, Janie, as one of the first inductee to be announced for this year to go into the Hall of Fame. And, I think a lot of people know that the Kentucky event as it is now, Land Rover Kentucky, formerly Rolex, wouldn't be what it is without Janie. Obviously a large supporting cast of characters involved, but Janie was really central to its early days leading that effort. And we'll be leaking out a couple other names over the coming months leading up to December in the annual convention. So
I think, actually, listeners, we might have some sneaky podcast shows to bring you on the Hall of Fame series as well. So we'll look forward to those and finding out more about their incredible stories. Max, how about you?
I'm trying to think. We've got after Le Moulin, we're sending a full team to Aachen, which is also very exciting on high performance land. But other than that, I mean, I think, you know, for the USEA, we've got it's that time of year where almost every single area is up and running and having events, and everybody's sort of gearing up for this year, and which is great. We've got other things. We've getting our USEA's got their grooms committee going on now too, which is really exciting. And we're going to get cracking with that and hoping to try to mimic what the British do with the British Grooms Association, because Lucy does such a great job with that. We've had conversations with her. Again, I'm just trying to think of other things. We've have our, we've got board meetings and getting our whole board back together again, which is always awesome to catch up with everybody. Safety stuff we're doing, more frangible pin stuff that we're doing. What am I missing, Rob? I think, the AECs, obviously, we're definitely looking forward to all that. I think, we've got some, and our under 21, our emerging athlete group, which we're doing very excited because this is the first year the USEA has been given the emerging athletes used to be, or the under 21 or was under 18 was part of the USEF. And now it has come to the USEA to be the new sort of pipeline. And we've got an incredible group of people working together to sort of do this. David O'Connor has really taken on board a lot of this. We've got some fantastic young rider coaches that are on the board and other past USEA presidents that are part of it too. We've got a great group that, so we've got camps that are going to go on this summer. And with those camps, I think we actually had to add a new one onto the East Coast because we have so many people that are excited. We have two on the West Coast, one in the Central U.S., yes, and then two on the East Coast, one at Moorvan Park, which is around the corner from the USCA headquarters, and another one, I think, at Stableview, which will be great. Holly Hill's doing the one in Louisiana, and then I think it's Aspen Farm, and is it Twin Rivers? Is Twin. The one other one?
Yeah.
One, yeah, the other one in California. So people, kids will have to, under 21, will have to fill out an application, having to have done training level or above, and they get to come to a camp. And we're hoping to figure out how to get some sponsorship stuff for that, so those kids don't have to be totally out of pocket for it. And then from there, they'll be talent spotted, and sort of the top 10 kids from those camps will get invited to go to a camp at David O'Connor's farm in Ocala in early January. And this is obviously, this is just the very beginning. We just needed to get things going to start this whole program. So we've got great coaches and very excited to get this going. It's been we were trying to figure out our feet and where we were supposed to go with this, but everything from, you know, horsemanship education to riding education to all the things above. So I'm hoping that this is going to be a good pathway and we can produce our own Yasmins in our country.
It certainly sounds very, very exciting.
Yeah.
I was just going to throw a horse out there that has had an exceptional spring, listeners, for you to follow. Boyd Martin, you would usually look at the likes of Setzeleg and On Cue, but just keep an eye on the Annie Goodwin Syndicate's Federman B, because an amazing story behind the horse anyway, and he has just been in flying form with Boyd this spring, and they've just won the big four-star long form at Tryon. So massively exciting. They finished on their dressage score at 29 there, so look out for them.
The other person I will say from Tryon that for riders to keep an eye on is Mia Farley.
And she was
excellent. And obviously she had a few rails on the little thoroughbred, but she's produced that horse from when it came off the track. It's a horse that was owned by Michael Phelps as a racehorse. And David O'Connor bought it from Joni Morris, found it for him because she can find a lot of horses off the track. And she's produced it. And that kid was seriously impressive. She's 22. And well, I'm thinking you guys are going to see her at Blenheim with her firecracker horse. And she really one to keep an eye on.
Well, yeah. We know where Blenheim form goes as well. Rob's found one. Rob's got his hand up.
I've got one. So this actually showed up on our social media the other day. And I think it's worth saying one for the future is we had finishing on our dressage score at Galway with a 20. Olivia Petrino and Aaron Rousey's 9-year-old Olenberg gelding Winsome Willow. It was their first event, and to finish on a 20 in your first event and essentially win is
pretty cool.
So there you go. Yeah, for the future, keep an eye out for Olivia.
Look forward to that. Look, Rob, Max, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the show. We have got lots more coming up, but we'll have a team catch up again very shortly. So thank you so much for joining us. Listeners, thank you guys. As always, we couldn't do it without you. If you are feeling kind, then please do drop a comment in your, give us a little ranking, subscribe, like, star rate, whatever the technical podcasting description should be. I should be better at that by now. I'm British. We get all awkward when we ask for things. But if you could like the podcast, then we'd really appreciate it because it all helps get the word out there. And we really do appreciate your support. We'll be back very soon with more on the USCA official podcast.
Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.